listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 9th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, as usual.
I'm glad to be here as well, and I'm glad to have you. And I'm glad to have everybody joining us live. We appreciate the time you take to join us and contribute to the chat. Always appreciate it, and thank you to those joining us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And before we get into tonight's topic, we'll of course start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic: the cycles of life in practical numerology. Now, this is going to be a fun one. Dr. Hunter, I'm looking forward to it because it is something that's not exactly my strong suit. So I'm looking forward to both discussing it and learning about it.
Well, I love numbers. And don't get me wrong, I was lousy at math in school. I am going to say before we start, if everybody wants to get a pen and paper, because you might want to write down some things or figure things out for yourself as we carry on. So, like, according to your birthday, when your birth path is and such, because we're going to start there. I have to say, Michael, I got interested in numbers at a very young age, and specifically, you know, when they talk about numerology, and of course, back in the days, and, you know, a big talk about Cavalarians and so on, different kind of approaches to numbers and numerology. But I got kind of a weird taste in my mouth at some point, understanding that numerology only applied to the English language. So, because if we wanted to be really accurate, then we'd have to find what numerics go with peoples, the Slavics of certain languages and so on. So, I mean, I started to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt until I started really delving into cycles. And cycles of life. And I went, whoa, bingo. Now we're on to something.
Well,
and sorry, Michael, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, something comes to mind. So we're talking about numerology, and forgive my ignorance, when we talk about the English language, are we referring to, you know, using numerology in works of, you know, like, for example, people using a system for the Hebrew and Christian Bible, things like that? Are we talking about that kind of English language?
When you take our English alphabet, and so you put 1 to 9 across the top, and the letters of the alphabet all the way across 1 to 9, and you've got, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and all the way down to Z, in your case Z, which is the number 8. And so you take the letter that corresponds to the number, and that's how you add that up, reduce it down to a single digit, that would be a name. But if you do take it from what you're saying, Michael, a different language, such as Hebrew, Latin, and so on, we can still recognize those letters, some mm-hmm. of them, but we don't know the numeric values of them. When English started to be this commonplace, more commonplace language, the breathing language, you know, there was a device, but there could be, there used to be, there was 1.24 letters to the alphabet. You know, the list is long, and the history is huge when it comes to languages.
So. Oh, my God. I mean, languages evolve constantly. You know, there was a famous linguist whose name I can't recall at the moment, but he said, you know, one of the last forms of snobbery is telling people how they should say a word, where there really is no right way to say a word because it's constantly shifting and evolving.
Well, unless you were British.
Well, you know, if you're British, we just accept that you say certain things wrong and spell things with U's and E's that shouldn't be there. But it's fine. It's fine. No judgment here.
I always say that because my father's people who prided themselves in being British, who were actually Vikings by my DNA, which kind of made me chuckle, there was, you know, that certain element of attitude with the Brits.
Sure.
Anyway, you know, as it goes and how you – it's drama, not drama. You know, that kind of thing.
So, or comparable instead of comparable and things like that.
Yeah. So it's an interesting – although I do name numbers for people when I want to tune in, because I think in the collective unconscious there is some measure of helpfulness to tune in. But to me it's the birth path number and the cycles of life which are way more telling. So I'd like to back up here and tell you just – as I got so immersed in numbers and it progressed for me, up about 20 years ago, it began to change again. So if I go back, H. Spencer Lewis is in the hierarchy of the Rosicrucian Order way back at the turn of the century. Now, his first publication in 1929 was called Self-Mastery and Fate with the Cycles of Life. I got it in its 30th print in 1977. And I was like, you know, I was bathing in this information. It's a wonderful book. And I don't know when it says 30th edition, if they did 100 books per edition, Michael, I have no idea. But it is now, it used to only be available through the Rosicrucian Order. It's now available on Amazon. So, you know, we've had some progress here. So if anybody is interested, it is a really fascinating study of cycles, but he is very attracted to the number seven. Now, we do play a lot of sevens, 7 days in a week, and he's found there's seven 52-day cycles in a year, which the five and two is a seven. You can break down seven exact cycles in a day. So that's where H. Spencer Lewis went with the cycles of sevens. Now, even with it, and as I, in the years to come, realize that 0 to 7 is a cycle, age 7 to 14 is a cycle, 14 to 21 is another cycle, and these are growing maturation cycles right up to 49. At age 49 to 56, you start another one cycle. So it's kind of what each of these cycles means. And if you think that a lot of people say, oh, 50, that's a real big, you know, change in your life. Well, naturally, 49 to 56 is like beginning again. It's that one cycle of rediscovering the world in a new place. Your body has changed organically, hormones, and so on. So it's a whole new rebirthing. And then in the, and so anyway, he gets into these 7 year cycles. And again, my study that I read at other material of the 7 year cycles, fascinating, absolutely fascinating, which made so much sense. Now, my disclaimer on this is he writes with a language and an approach that makes sense for 1929, you see. So if you ever read books from a turn of the century point of view, the usage of language and the approach to psychology, sociology, is it's very different. So you have to really see it in there as that may not apply that way now, but there is this really interesting thread of you know, what I very relatable material. So I found that really exciting. And I see Dr. Zach has mentioned in the chat here, the cycles of seven are also echoed in the major arcana of the tarot, representing the physical, mental, spiritual lessons that the fool learns throughout the major arcana. And you're right, Zach, there's also that in those sevens. Now, one of the things that people think about the number seven is that it's that magical, lucky, mystical number. But the seven is a fundamental number, and it's often overlooked, and that's why people think, oh, when it appears, it's lucky. No, because we live seven. Hmm. There's all these sevens, and we're constantly living them.
Very true. And, you know, Charles in chat points out there are all sorts of cycles, and they're all very interesting, which is true. There are cycles within cycles, wheels within wheels, constant processes that are going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I occasionally think to myself, you know, I probably should have chimed in and say something to contribute to this broadcast, but I've been finding this interesting to listen to.
Yeah. Well, you know, Charles just said there's all sorts of cycles and they're all interesting. Yeah, thanks for that, Charles, because this is where I want to go to the nine. Nines are we only have nine true numbers, one to nine. So let's not talk about zero, and let's not talk about 11s, 22 and 33, or 12s and so on that numerology would take us into. Let's reduce this to very simple approach, what I call a practical approach. So the numbers 1 to 9 are the only true numbers. And we go through numerically 9-year cycles. So when we're living nines, so if you're inclined to do your name number, you can go ahead and do that. I gave you the basics of the chart. But let's consider more the birth path number. My birth path number is a 7. So I am October 25, and we're in the year 2022. So you add all those numbers up and reduce it to a 5. So I'm in a 5-year, Michael. In 2 years, I'll be in a 7-year. So my birth path and the year are going to line up. And that to me is notable. Mute for
How
a second.
How dare you mute for a moment? We almost had to listen to me talk, and thank God we're back. All right.
I didn't want to cough in your ear. So to me, that's when your relationship with the outside world changes. Something in your outer world, how you see the world, how you interact with the world. It could be as simple as having your own realizations about people, whether or not you want to be social. It could also mean a move. It could also mean a job change, and those kinds of things. So that's one of the ways I tune into people at the beginning of a reading is to find out what cycle you're in. And so when that lines up, that's significant. Pardon me, I'm a birth path of 1, name number of 7. Just screwing myself up here. So delete some of what I've said. We're going to backspace here. In 2 years, I come up, my name number lines up with the year. Okay, so that's internal changes.
And based on the month and day of month?
Yeah, so if that the birth path number is by the day, the month, and the year. A name number, again, if you were to chart. So it's when you get these intersections. Now, what is fascinating, if you get old enough to be able to look back in terms of decades, and you'll see a thread of a frequency, a similar frequency, that is kind of floating through each of those 9 years. Different expression, but the same thing. So it may not be events to repeat, but the lessons or the expressions repeat. So me being in a 5 year, this year I can already see an essence of similarities to what happened in 2013, which is 9 years ago. So if you do that for yourself, just consider to write down your month, the day, and the year we're in. That's the number that you're experiencing, that essence, numeric value of essence. And then look back, you know, those 9 years previous. But you could do this for every year that you're in. The significant ones is when your birth path in the year line up. So, but I also, like I say, do consider the name number, where that intersects, the birth path. But if you add those two numbers together, you get also a destiny number. And a lot of folks consider that to be that spiritual karma, the spiritual enlightenment, the aha moment at the end of life. And I see it as every 9 years we go through a spiritual restlessness. So,
you know, that's fascinating. You were talking about this, and the thing that came to mind, and this is from going a ways back when I was taking psychology in college, but that we go through different crisis events as we enter different stages of our lives. Mm-hmm. And that correlates perfectly with what you're talking about in terms of the 9 year cycles.
Well, I've always found that there's something to it. Now, again, I've had this fascination with observing cycles. Now, I went ahead and kind of observed this myself, of these intersections of, you know, your name number to the year and so on, and started observing that. Like I say, I came to that about 20 years ago, and I went, wow. Now, if somebody's read that somewhere, I hadn't read it anywhere. It's just, it was one of those things. If there's cycles of sevens, there's nine basic numbers, what's the practicality? What does that mean to me in life? In seeing that all things repeat, right? Everything is a cycle of life. Well, what if I started observing, and whoa, you know, I had all these realizations, and I started working a little bit more with people on this, and it just makes absolute sense to me. So in those cycles of nines, now Dr. Mike has just said that he finds that 12 is an interesting number. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's another master number, but we're going into a different understanding of math, and in my practical approach, I keep it as simple as possible. Well, I'm with you on that, Mike, so just know that.
You know, this has a very ancient feel to it. I mean, these are the patterns that humans would have been looking at tens of thousands of years ago. 12, powerful number. It's, you know, the divisible amount of time that we circle the sun, 7 days to a week, things like that. 9, the basic numbers in the counting, you know, before 0 was even a concept. That was 1 through 9.
Yeah, and but there's 13 moons in a year. So, again, you can take numbers.
Well, 13's a special number in and of itself.
Yes, so it's another master number. So you can take numbers, the study of numbers, way over, you know. And, I mean, it's wonderful. I love studying numbers. But to keep it as simple as possible in the cycles of life, it's observing when we are naturally going through cycles. Now, one of the things, Michael, that I really want to bring to light, if someone, I just read at a client the other day where one year, like she's in a 7 year, she's a name number 7, birth path of 7, she's the name number 8. So I said, well, you have this every 9 year pattern of life throws you a curveball, your relationship with the outside world changes, and now you are forced, not in your own time, but you're forced in the following year to look deep inside yourself. And so that tells me about somebody's nature, you know, mm-hmm. versus the other way. If her name number was a 7, birth path is an 8, then I'd say, wow, you change your life every 9 years, and, you know, quite radically, because you, you know, have these internal revelations, realizations. The next year you want to go and take that to the world and manifest that. But even more so, what's really crazy is 7 and 7 being 14, make it an 8, 15, that's a destiny number of 6. So she has a spiritual restlessness in the 6th year. She has internal shifts in the 7th year. And in the 8th year, you know, she wants to change the world or change how she is in the world. Now, two things are going to happen here. One is she is naturally going to change her life every 9 years, like, and in one full swoop. The other thing is just she's going to be hard to read in relationships. Mm-hmm. She's going to be hard to understand. It has to be somebody who's very kind of tolerant of that kind of a cycle. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if, you know, we could have at least a couple of years apart from each of these intersections, so it looks more like a nice flowing biorhythm chart.
If only. You know, it's funny you say, I've always thought of myself as having an 8-year cycle in my life. It seems like things have a drastic change every 8 years or so, which is kind of, you know, knocking on 9, but.
Well, and again, the give or take, but in that, if you look back at the start of that cycle shift to the completion of that cycle shift.
See, that's probably a good way to look at it.
It's that overlap. And so that's why I say those cycles of life. Now, again, Michael, we can look at cycles of 12. We can look at, you know, cycles of 10. There's so many other things, but the very basic, simple ones to look at that help me, I don't know, what happens in my brain when I tune in. This started happening, and again, because we all evolve, right? We're always changing. And in my personal journey, it's one day I started seeing kind of like coding in the air when I tune into somebody. You know, like the zeros and ones and all that, what do you call it?
So we're going into the matrix.
Yeah, it's like, truly. And I could tune in through somebody's numbers in that collective unconscious. Oh, there you are. You know, like plugging in. And I've only talked to one other individual who's had that same experience where somebody walked into where she works one day. Like, this girl's really psychic, Michael. She's like, whoa. But she doesn't want anybody to know. She just lives. We have our conversations, but she likes to live her secret life. And somebody walked in, and she just started seeing all this, you know, matrix coding kind of thing. And I said, oh, yeah. She says, what is that? And I said, I see it all the time. Oh, I'm so glad to know I'm not crazy.
Oh, it's just, you know, us living in the simulation. It's fine.
It's true.
You know the thing I hate about the simulation? It answers nothing. It answers nothing. Because if we're in a simulation, well, fine. Who are the people that created the simulation, and how did they come to exist?
Yeah,
just kicking the can down the road. But I digress. You know, as I listen, I've always been fond of mathematics as the way in which the wider universe, I don't know, I wanted to say makes its will known, but does the entire universe have a singular will? I don't think it does, necessarily. But I will say that I've always viewed mathematics and statistical probability as huge when it comes to, you know, things that happen, you know, and a lot of it is sometimes random chance, but it seems like things do come together in just such a certain way.
But, well, then we could also talk about the random numbers generator, you know, and random numbers in the collective consciousness. And,
well, your date of birth is kind of a random number generator in and of itself.
It is. And I mean, that's kind of a fascinating thing where they know this from data, that energy changes when there are big events on the earth. I'd like to know what they're all reading today, but, you know, but, you know, it's numbers are, well, the universe is math. So that's in and of itself a big statement. Well, everything is mathematical, even if we're not mathematicians, to know, you know, algebra and, you know, on and on that just boggles my brain. You know, I used to see a number in math, y plus this squared equals that, and I'm saying, what is it? Well, it's whatever you want it to be. I said, well, this doesn't even make sense. Just give me a question.
Yeah, I could get through algebra, but when I get into, you know, more advanced things like, you know, calculus and things, I'm like, no bueno. But I could always, math was fun once you got into it because it's like solving puzzles, but it's one of those things, I think I'm with you, it just doesn't come to me naturally, so you have to put more work into it than you do with other things. And who wants that?
Yeah, no, and it's so I had someone take my practical numerology course on IMHS through IMHS the other day, and one of the comments was made that nobody's commented on in a paper for a while was applying numbers to businesses and the birth of a business, and not to confuse that with your own birth date and cycles of numerology, that when you conceive of a name for a business or the idea and the incorporation date, so think of the gestation period and the incorporation or registering a name, that's the birth date. And then you have a separate set of cycles, and you have that relationship with that business like a separate entity, like you're having a relationship. So when's the best time for you to apply yourself in certain ways to that business with that business's cycles? And I thought, wow, somebody clued in. That's awesome.
That's a very interesting take. We could really apply that to any human organization, be it a nation state, a corporation, business. Because anything that humans put their minds together for, put their endeavors into, takes on a life of its own and has a character of its own.
Yeah, I tell you, a friend of mine many years ago had this one city we were living in at the time. He was an astrologer, and he realized that where we were living was in a triple Scorpio city by its incorporation date. Sun in Scorpio, rising in Scorpio, and the ascendant moon was in Scorpio. And I went, whoa, no wonder it's so intense here. You know? And so, yeah, a place that has its own numeric and cosmic kinds of energies in its creation. Absolutely. But you can also apply numbers to your address, and you can apply numbers to your phone. What's your phone number? Add all the numbers, reduce it to a single digit, the essence of that. But numbers tell a story. Before we close, people can certainly start to put their name in the chat for drawing cards here right away. This half hour is going by crazy fast, Michael.
Well, time is just speeding up in reality, but they're messing with the simulation. That's why we're seeing the numbers all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's true. But numbers tell a story. So if I can say this simply, is one is the beginning, two is the doing, three is the completion, and by the way, threes just want to be happy. Four likes stability, but it's also a bit restless. Five likes adventure. Six likes to relate to others. It's social. It's committed. Seven understands fundamentals. Seven's not going to let you move forward till you get it. Eight is education. A lot of people call it a power, you know, authoritarian number, but you can't have that unless you have education. And of course, nine is realization, enlightenment, and again, that completion. And from there, in preparation to start again. So numbers tell a very simple story. And trust me, each number will have thousands of properties to it. So I like to reduce it to a practical understanding, that sensible understanding, and from there, intuitively, I know what the number one means and how it applies, so I can go there, but that's because I've also studied it and use intuitive forces. But if you keep that story in mind, you know, of beginning, the working, completing, stabilizing, adventure, socializing a community, and then fundamentals, education, and enlightenment. You know, and again, like there's so many more things to a number. For instance, the nine is often very high idealism. You know, it has high standards for itself. Somebody who is a nine can tend to be a perfectionist, which can work for or against them. They might not want to do anything until they think they can do it perfectly, or they're just naturally gifted in something. But nine can often also get lost because it's invisible. So one more thing about the nine, before I go anywhere. A quick way to add your numbers is cancel out anything that adds up to a nine. Just draw a little thing through it. Add up the remaining numbers, and you'll get the same answer.
Interesting little trick.
So I can, and that's where nine is really an interesting number, because it has this, so if somebody's a name number nine, I say you have the ability to be invisible. You can make yourself unnoticed anywhere, but you can also be noticed. So nine has that kind of ability, that shapeshifter ability in a way. So again, there's lots of properties to every number. But if you think of it as a simple storytelling, it'll start to be fun.
So. Absolutely. Well said. Well, Dr. Hunter, I've enjoyed being somewhat of the layman on this conversation and going through this, and it's been fascinating for me to listen to and been getting some good feedback from the chat. But
yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You know, mathematics is the universal language. It is true regardless of anything.
It is.
And you know, universe trying to send messages every little bit of ways. But speaking of numbers, we're going to move on to drawing cards, which is a random number generator in and of itself.
Let's do it.
All right, so we have some names popping up. And I'm just shuffling right now. I believe we have Dr. Raven first.
Oh, do we? Okay. I'm glad you said that, Michael, because I wasn't on top of that. There we go. All right, Raven.
All right. Ah, powerful number. 13, positive consciousness. Let's see. Number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Raven, you got the Four of Diamonds, or the Four of Pentacles, in support of that. And what comes to mind immediately is it's not a negative to be a bit miserly at times. That in itself can be a positive thing, because you can't give away something that you don't have. So it's kind of like give the shirt off your back and you don't have another shirt, you're pretty cold. So think about it. It's good to be able to consider what serves you and what your basic needs are and not be too freewheeling with it. So if somebody comes to you and says, can you loan me money? Well, you could, but how much extra do you have? So sometimes giving away your last $5 isn't a good thing. That's kind of where I want to go with that. So value for value and making sure that you're taken care of. So hope that makes sense in some way to you.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. All right. We have Dr. Jeff up next. But before you move on, Dr. Hunter, can I borrow some money? You just let me know. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But all right. I have number one, perfection, for Dr. Jeff.
All right.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Nine of Diamonds in support of that, Jeff. Nine of Pentacles. I like that in that growing a comfort with the home, growing a comfort with the rhythm of a life. And a lot of things are new in your life in the last number of months. So it's like growing accustomed to that. It's seeing it in its perfection. And even the little things that you might want to change up or you know, you're saying, not quite right yet. It's still in a perfect evolution. So I say that you're feeling more comfortable, to be honest. That's what I get from this. So bathe in the comfort. Acknowledge comfort when it's there. And then it gives you a moment to still look at what little shadows are there you want to work on. And you go forward. But enjoy the moment is what I want to say.
Good message. All right. Charles is next. Charles, I have wild card number 6, entropy. Maybe it's just me. This one's popped up a few times lately. All right. Wild card number 6. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Wow, Charles, Hanged Man. I love the Hanged Man. It really is one of my most favorite symbols in the tarot. And I like it because it's awakenings. Very often, though, we have to recognize when we have some cognitive dissonance, you know, of, oh, I haven't been willing to give this up, but now I'm willing to give this up. And it's like wanting the change becomes more important than hanging on to what you have. And in this case, with entropy in regards to this, I'm going to say you're already on it. Your vibration is changing. And you're having new information in your mind that's saying, huh, I hadn't thought about that before. So it's like the brain and software program is all starting to, you know, figure itself out and get a new flow of it there. And you just are naturally willing to give up, something that you had hung on to before. Look, we all do it. So I think that's very exciting. There's a revelation of some kind here. Wendy just said that, yeah, Michael, you're right. You've pulled entropy 6 times this year. Okay, man, she keeps good track of this stuff.
Doing a service, too. Seeing, I mean, numeric trends. And
I know.
Very interesting.
Awesome.
All right.
Eileen is next, I think, Michael.
Eileen, I pulled another wild card. Wild card number 7, hope. And I think this is the first time since I actually got this deck that I pulled 2 cards numerically back-to-back one another. Huh. It's been shuffled an infinite amount of times. Wow. Wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
2 of Pentacles. So 2 of Diamonds. Hope in restoring some kind of balance to your life, Eileen, or regaining more balance or wanting something a little more even keeled. So, and because it's a diamond, I want to go with even finances. We might be some juggling there, but it's hopefulness. In other words, this is a really positive message for you that you're gaining what it is that you're looking for and balancing things out. And I don't know, this just comes to mind. You only need a couple or 3 more weeks. Gee, I hope that makes sense. I'm going out on a limb there, Michael. But I hang in there because some good things are just around the corner.
Excellent. Yep. Reason for hope. All right. And Edward. We have Dr. Edward. I have number 17, reinvention. Let's see. Number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, And what else in my life should be reinvented? Good card. Haven't seen it in a little while.
Oh, I'm really going to go out on a limb with this one, Michael, because I pulled the Queen of Spades in support of reinvention. Edward, I feel like a woman is going to help you figure something out, or a woman who's going to empower you in some way to get something, do something. So again, in this, it's kind of like snapping my fingers and little things coming out and not having a lot of time to be able to tune in to make that picture bigger for you. But there's a woman here who knows what she's doing. She's assertive, not necessarily aggressive, but she'll be helping you, and I see numbers. So you're going to get the aid that you need or want, and I would say right away. All right, I'm going with that, Michael.
All right. Very interesting. It's a mystery. I'm intrigued. I'm actually a little invested now. I want to find out how this works out, but all right. So we have Dr. Mike next. I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit. Let's see. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. Good card.
It is a good card, and the Five of Clubs says the worst is over. That's where I'm going with this, Mike. It's like there may have been a struggle, or you thought there would be a struggle, but it's not as much as anticipated. So by the power of your will, the power of spirit and energy, it's going in your favor. I know I sound like such a hokey fortune teller when I say stuff like that, but in this case, see, the Five of Wands can be seen in many different ways. Some people see it as a battle. I generally see it as, oh, we thought we'd have to fight and we didn't have to. Or I see it and, oh, the battle's over, yay, we're all happy. So there's many ways to see it, and I go by the first thing that comes to my mind and in support of the card that Michael has pulled. So the indomitable power of the human spirit and the Five of Clubs, I'm going with that, Mike, and say that there's some good things going on here for you.
That's good. Good message. And a lot of times we create our, you know, that kind of positive energy can lead us to great things. All right. We have Ronnie next. And, I don't really have intuition, but when I pulled this one, it just felt right. So
okay. For
whatever that's worth, I have number 22, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, the Queen of Diamonds is in support of that, Ronnie. I could go in the way of saying it's work-related. But I want to also say where you feel that maybe you've been doing more for others than is warranted, or that you've been like not getting a value for value sort of thing. And in thinking for yourself and regaining your spirit, you'll be able to put up the boundaries that you need to move forward. Now, that may be in your personal life as well as kind of the work life, but it's kind of like rethinking for a moment of what are my thoughts and what are the thoughts of others. And even then, when you want to believe people, you got to sort it out in your head, is what they're saying truthful or making sense. So I think there's just something here you're sorting out. That's what I think. So I hope that makes sense. And Wendy has said in the chat that the think for yourself came up on February 9th.
So, month of the day.
Hmm.
All right. And very interesting patterns we're seeing tonight. We have Ronaldo next. And Ronaldo, I have wild card number 5, don't hate. Let's see, wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others.
Well, I got lovers in support of that, Ronaldo. So, look, it's symbolic. It's about passion, energy, basic love. It doesn't always have to be in a in an intimate way when it comes up, the lovers. It's don't hate, and lovers is, look, I want to say this, it's very easy right now in the world to feel frustrated or get irritable, and I think it's everywhere, and this is just saying remember your passion. But also, I want to say here, give benefit of doubt to somebody. I don't know, conversation just came up in my head where maybe it is that you can look at them and say, okay, I want to give benefit of the doubt and see what events take place that support your willingness to want to believe them. So I don't know. That's a story that came to my head. I hope that makes sense for you. But it's a good one. No, it's a good thing. So when I say these things, like even when Ronnie had think for yourself, doesn't mean she doesn't think for herself. It just means there might be one thread in the blanket that needs addressing, or one matter of the day. So while we're all here as students of metaphysics, and we're all metaphysicians, and we're attempting, you know, working on being spiritual, we're people living in people lives, Michael. You know, we all have people things, and
isn't that the truth?
We all have emotions and frustrations and so on. So we're all learning, right?
Every day.
And yeah, it's thanks for the feedback in the chat, everyone. I appreciate that. That's awesome, because sometimes I think I'm out of my mind, but that's all right. So what have we got for Wendy, Michael?
For our card keeper, Wendy, I have number 42, trust and integrity.
Ooh.
Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Wendy, I kid you not, I went in to pull one and three popped out, and I think it is you're negotiating with somebody and you're negotiating on your own behalf. So let me tell you, you've got the Page of Cups, a Page of Hearts, the Three of Diamonds, and the King of Clubs here. So it's trust and integrity. I want to say hold your ground, find good words, and find perhaps new words in presenting yourself. So in what I've seen here is a matter of negotiating. And one, I don't know, this comes to mind. I knew a young lawyer, again, many years ago, who's now a judge. But back in the day, I asked her, how is it you never lose? Oh, she said, that's easy. I always think like a judge. And when you think about what it is that other individual is looking for, wanting to hear, you can present your case, get what you want, but in a way that the other understands. So that's kind of where I want to go with that. So I hope it applies in some kind of event in your life right now. So,
Good analogy.
Audra is next, I think.
Oh, I don't think we have time, Dr. Vicky.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
She's always the late comer, but tonight she was in early.
She was. Audra, I have number 16, Continuity of Life. I don't know if we pulled this one in a while. Let's see. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Well, I got temperance in support of that, Audra, so be like water. The continuity of life is, at this time, I want to say, go with the flow, be patient. There's always this time to, you know, step back. In other words, you presented your case, you've, you know, done what you can, and then you have to wait for the cosmic to unfold. More to the point, have to let people get their ducks in a row. And so it's just being patient for a minute. And I know that's tough sometimes, but patience. You know, I don't know. I used to say that I used to have no tolerance and a lot of patience, and I had a lot of patience, no tolerance, and sometimes I think I don't have either. And then I have lots of it, so I don't know. But, you know, I think it's really about what we have patience and tolerance for, honestly.
It's very true. It changes from moment to moment.
It does. So the continuity of life with, you know, temperance as a support is just, I want to say, hang on. Just hang in there. It's going to be okay. By the way, it will be okay.
It's true.
Just you just don't know yet the outcome or what's going to happen, but it'll come.
Very well said. Very well said. And I think that is everybody for cards this evening. I don't think we've missed anybody. Just take a quick look through.
You know, I want to thank Wendy for the comment she made earlier in the chat. Wendy did her presentation at work for the Women's History Month. And she said, I just read this. She said, I want to say, over the last week, I've gained a whole new level of respect for you and I, Michael, because she said they did the podcast, and of course, there's a lot more to it than she realized. They even had audio technical problems. She said, we make it sound easy.
Oh, you're too kind. But
Thank you, Wendy.
And of course you had to have some technical issues. It just goes with the experience. If you hadn't had technical issues, it would not have been as rich an experience for life.
I can only hope she had a Michael to figure that out. Because well, I don't know how to deal with that. Oh, and Wendy has put the link in the chat for anybody who wants to listen.
I am checking that out. And another wonderful benefit to those listening to the archives, if you join us live, you get to get in on little gems like this.
Yes, certainly. So, you know, I will say, Michael, being with you is easy. What we do is just try to be comfortable. Mm. And we're both talkers, so that's not an issue.
Oh, and I can rant. I don't know if I talk, but I can rant for a time.
Well, and I think we both think pretty fast on our feet. You know, we're interested. And when you're interested, it's not hard. And it really, it's about the work. I think for anybody who does any kind of media work, whether you do public speaking, whether you do presentations or go to meetings, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about the work.
That's very true. And I think, you know, I'm going to steal this line from the movie Doctor Strange. I'm sorry to be nerdy. But in it, one of the characters tells the other character that he has failed to learn one of the most essential lessons about life. That is, it's not about you.
Mm. And I love Doctor Strange. I've watched it like 4 times.
It's a good flick. It's a good flick. Underrated.
I do. But thank you for saying so, Wendy. I appreciate that. We are going to listen to your podcast this
Absolutely.
Week.
I have it saved right here.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And to those listening live, the audio just started playing on it, and you heard the very first little snippet of it.
Oh, cool. I want to just remind everybody, please listen to your intuition while listening to the news. There's always more than what is presented. Everybody has their own angle. Everybody has their own thing. It's kind of like when COVID first happened, you know, everybody had their opinions about it. The fact remained that we had COVID, you know, there's a pandemic. There's no question about that. It's not a hoax. So is Russia invading Ukraine? But there's all kinds of other things about this that you have to be really, discerning about. Well, and
you know, the internet is a wonderful thing and it is a horrible thing. It's a wonderful thing. It gives everybody a voice. It's a horrible thing because it gives everybody a voice. And it means that there's a lot of information out there, but a lot of it is not always accurate.
Exactly.
I think, use a little discretion and wisdom and judgment and what we look at and try to source good information always in life, because there's a lot of people trying to throw all kinds of stuff at you.
Yeah. So it's I always go by, does that feel right? You know, when I'm waiting for my brain software to say this doesn't compute or it computes or whatever. But there's always more to the story. And so I'd like everybody to remind themselves to breathe. We'll get through this. I know there are horrible things going on the planet right now. But we're all doing the best we can with what we have. So take one step at a time, one day at a time, and be as good of a human being as you know to be. That's all.
Good advice for any day. Very well said. Well, I am looking forward to talking with you next week, Dr. Vicky. I'm looking forward to everybody joining us. Look forward to seeing you in the chat again.
I think we'll have an open discussion next week. What do you say?
I think that sounds good to me. I'm going to think about some stuff over the week. And Dr. Vicky, you will too. And we'll each come with our respective rants. It's going
to
be a fun time.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.